Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed. If you look at the news, if you look around in society, maybe if you look at your own life, it's easy to be pessimistic and negative. Today, I want to give you some keys to godly optimism.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
Thank you for joining us today. You want to be encouraged? You are listening to the right show at the right time. I hope you were edified and helped by the show yesterday on Martin Luther King Day. Today, I want to talk to you about godly optimism. Michael Brown, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Number to call, 866-348-7884. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or you can interact with us on Facebook at Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Now, I'm going to be asking you a couple of questions as the show goes on, and I've decided today, I'm going to do this periodically, over the next 6 weeks or so, I am going to give away a free copy, maybe even two, of my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, which will be a 600-page, $27.99 hardcover book. We'll be giving it away a little bit later in the show today. So stay tuned. Be ready to call. Of course, this is a pre-giveaway. The book will be out, God willing, in March. But I want to talk to you today about godly optimism. I am not talking about sticking our head in the sand and denying reality. I'm not talking about a pseudo kind of faith that speaks and spouts all kinds of great things but has no depth of reality to it. And I'm not talking about just having a positive mental attitude. Look, I fully understand that we're wired differently, that we are genetically different, that we're physically different, we're mentally and emotionally different. And some of that is our makeup, and some of it doesn't change. There are other aspects, though, that are absolutely changeable. And I say that because of Scripture. Because Scripture exhorts us to act differently, to think differently, even to have a different internal attitude. Those who are weak, be strong in the Lord. Sometimes people are in sin, and the Word says don't go on in some kind of carnal happiness. Mourn and grieve. Other times the Word commands us to rejoice, and it encourages us to believe. So I want to give you scriptural principles to godly optimism. Yeah, I'm wired a certain way. Yes, I have a certain history and relationship with God, but yes, I live in the same world as everyone else, and I take on lots of difficult, challenging things like many of you do, and sometimes I feel overwhelmed with the pressure and weight of what's on my plate and the pressure and weight of what's happening in the world and recognizing the forces of darkness that we're up against. But I can tell you this, and people who know me well, beginning with Nancy, we're about to celebrate 35 years of marriage. People who know me well, our daughters raised in our home, people who've worked with me in all kinds of difficult situations, they will tell you that I am full of godly optimism, not just positive thought, but godly optimism. I want to share with you some scriptural principles for godly optimism today. And look, friends, it's important because I certainly don't expect things to suddenly get easy in the world, that suddenly, oh, there are no dark, difficult days. Oh, there's no sickness and pain to deal with. Oh, there are no wars, famines, droughts, earthquakes, disasters. Oh, all the world leaders are getting together just fine. Oh, the devil took a vacation. No, that's not going to happen. And we will not have perfect peace on this earth until Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom here. So that means as long as we're in this world, Jesus guaranteed it. Did he not? John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulation. So here is the question. How can we live in this world and have God the optimist. Now, a little bit later in the show, I'm going to share some stuff with you that is going to get you very upset. I'm going to do it so that you understand how we can look at these kinds of things and yet remain optimistic. I brought this message some years ago at Fire. I'm not going to preach to you now. I'm going to talk to you about it over the radio. But I've got, five, six, 7 points that I'm going to share and some scriptures. All right? Everybody ready? Number one reason for godly optimism. God is with us, therefore we do not fear. If we're children of God and we're not walking in rebellion against Him, we're seeking to please Him and obey Him. No, we're not perfect, but we're seeking to please and honor the Lord. The scriptures are clear. God is with us, therefore we do not fear. Psalm 23, come on, how many of you quote that to me by heart? Psalm 23, 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death or the deepest, darkest valley, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Yeah, the circumstances are dire and difficult and horrific and terrible and on, but I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's presence with us, God's protection with us, God's correction of us, God's defense of us, that's all the comfort we need. Psalm 112, verses 6 through 8, is rendered in the ESV. For the righteous will never be moved. He'll be remembered forever. He's not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. And the Hebrew is expressed the firm heart, the heart steady. It's a really, you're leaning on something for that stability. So the righteous is not afraid of bad news. It doesn't mean bad news will never come. It means the righteous doesn't fear it if it does come, and it doesn't fear, oh no, it's going to come. Why? Because the heart of the righteous person is firm, trusting in the Lord. If God is really with us, if He really is who He says He is, then even when calamity strikes, even when difficult times come, even when we find ourselves in a true crisis situation that's beyond our strength, the reality of God is what keeps us full of hope, that even in the midst of darkness, light will shine. God is with us, therefore we do not fear. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I'm with you. Do not be dismayed. God says, for I'm your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43:2, promises to Israel. And how do you deal with Old Testament promises to Israel? You can apply them spiritually as they are applicable, but don't steal them. Fair enough. If there's a promise that God gave to ancient Israel, you know, regathering after scattering or comfort after judgment, by all means, as it applies to your own life, you can spiritually take it, but don't steal it. In other words, don't forget the fact that it applies to Israel in a physical, literal way as God spoke it. But here's a wonderful promise to Israel that we can apply to ourselves as believers. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. So there will be waters we pass through. There will be rivers we pass through. But they won't destroy us. And God will be with us in the midst of it. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. The words of Jesus to his disciples as he's sending them out into all the world to be witnesses, surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Let me tell you in particular, maybe you're listening to this online or by podcast in another part of the world where the Lord has sent you. It was Rosalind Goforth, who along with her husband Jonathan suffered much for the gospel on the mission field. And she said, I don't know if I have the words exact, but the spirit of it is exact, that the safest place for me and my children is the will of God. The safest place for you is the will of God. If the will of God is in the midst of a terrorist camp where people are trying to kill you, if the will of God is for you in an infested, rat-infested apartment in the inner city, if the will of God for you is in the midst of a very difficult, temptation-filled environment, if that's the will of God for you to be in the midst of a situation like that in obedience to Him and His call, that's the safest place for you to be. What were John Wesley's last words as he died at the age of 88 in 1791? His last words, the best of all, God is with us. Can I encourage you, if you know there's sin, disobedience in your life, maybe you've left your spouse, you're living in adultery, well, for God to be with you, you need to repent and turn to Him, and break away from the sin and get cleansed afresh with His blood, the blood of Jesus. But to everyone else, if you are right with God, you're not living in willful disobedience to him, can I encourage you to look in the mirror and to say, God's with me. God's with me. God's with me. Now, it'll also help you to do what's right. It'll also help you not to sin. It'll also help you to live a life of obedience. If God is for us, who can be against us? I'm talking today about reasons for godly optimism today here on the Line of Fire. My first reason is this: God is with us, therefore we do not fear. Sometimes we just need to get that into ourselves. Oh, but I'm not worthy, I'm not good, and I'm not perfect. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. God is with me. God is the one who justifies me. God is the one who keeps me. God is the one who's given precious promises to me, which we'll get into on the other side of the break. If God is for me, who can be against me? How can I be down, discouraged, hopeless? How can I be disconsolate? How can I be a pessimist if I know God is with me? We'll be back with a lot more reasons for godly optimism and a giveaway of A Queer Thing Happened to America. Friends, welcome back to the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, you've tuned in the right day. Well, every day is the right day. Hopefully every day is a quality show that'll minister to you or speak to you or challenge you or change you. But today we're talking about godly optimism, keys to being a godly optimist based on Scripture. Some verses for you to chew on, some thoughts for you to chew on. And hopefully in the midst of the challenges of this world, this will help you bring light into darkness, bring hope into despair, bring life into death, because we as followers of Jesus, as his ambassadors, should be vessels of light and life and hope, especially if we are leaders. But any believer, whatever situation we're put in, we should be vessels of hope. You say, I'm a melancholy kind of person. I'm a discouraged kind of person. I'm a negative kind of person. Well, that's why you're listening to this show, because you need to hear some biblical principles. And by God's Spirit, by God's power and God's truth, you can renew your mind and you can change. Now, I'm going to give you some startling negative news as an example of some of the things that are out there. And our number, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. In a moment, I'm going to ask a question. Now, when you call in, here's the prize today. I'm going to be doing this maybe once a week for the next 6 weeks or so until my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, comes out. It's the book will cost $27.99. It's a hardcover. It'll be like 600 pages. And you any one chapter you can pick out and read if you can't get through the whole book in one shot. Any one chapter. Oh, it'll speak to you. Trust me. When this book comes out, it will make an impact by God's grace because of the truth that's in this book that America needs to hear. But you have to earn it, okay? You got to earn a book like this. So when I ask this question, all right, I'm going to be reading some information that's being taught in one state, in one school district in particular in America, all right? When you call in, 866-34-TRUTH, we'll take Joey, we'll take your answers off the air so I can just keep going on here. You need to say what state it is. There are many states in America. I mean, there are states where same-sex marriage is legal, like Massachusetts. There are states that have been leaning in that direction, like New York. There are states that have had radical curriculum for years, like California, and etc. So there are lots of possibilities, and you have to think, well, would he mention one of the states that's the correct answer? You know, maybe it could be, I've heard about Colorado and Arizona. Isn't there like some changes in Florida recently? What about the northeastern New England states? And so, oh, okay. Now, but here's the deal. Are you ready? When you call in, if you get the state right, Joey will have a list of five different counties in that state. When he gives you that list, you got to get the county right, and you win the book. All right? And at the end of the show, I'll tell you where it is. So let's see. This is a school curriculum, samples that were sent to me by someone who's been working against this curriculum in the schools for years. They have definitions of commonly used terms. This is for school children. You know, the term transgender is there, a person of one gender who feels like a person of the other gender. For example, a boy who thinks and feels like he is a girl inside. They want the teachers to know these terms so they can help the kids. Let's see. Kindergarten reading. Kindergarten. All you parents of kindergarten kids, listen. You said, hang on, I thought you were going to encourage me. I will. But I want to tell you why we need to be encouraged by God's word, because of what's happening in our society. All right? Kindergarten. The teachers are to read one of the books. It's called The Family Book. After reading The Family Book by Todd Parr, students will talk about differences and similarities in families. One of the procedures and activities is focus on page 14. Explain that some families have two moms or two dads. They want this taught in kindergarten in this school district. All right? Let me move ahead to first grade. First grade. One of the books that they are going to read together in the class is All Families Are Special. And one of the activities, as students finish the last page, distribute the second page where they complete the sentence, my family has, or a family can have. And, of course, you're going to have all types of same-sex variations. And, hey, one day, why not? Polyamorous. I mean, multiple moms and dads. Hey, look, this is being taught in schools to kindergartners and first graders. Grade 2. I've got a printout of the curriculum, okay? And again, what you've got to do, 866-34-TRUTH, you've got to call and tell us in which state this curriculum is, okay? And if you get the state right, then Joey will give you an option of 5 different counties. You get it right, and when my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, comes out, you will get a free copy of this hardcover book. Grade 2, they want you to read Heather Has Two Mommies. So the whole class will read this together. After reading the book Heather Has Two Mommies, students will summarize the story, discuss 2 or 3 open-ended questions, draw a picture, and write a descriptive paragraph to explain their families. Okay, grade 3, and Tango Makes 3, about 2 alleged gay penguins and the baby penguin that they raised. Grades 4 and 5, All I Want to Be Is Me. The children will read that and develop an ally action handbook. This is dealing with gender identity diversity for grades 4 and 5. So they're going to become allies now of gay kids that identify as gay. 4 and 5, 4 and 5th grade. Also in grade 4, in our mother's, plural, in our mother's house. Some of these books I own. Grade 5, they'll read the Harvey Milk story of the first openly gay politician. Of course, he was killed not because he was gay, but he was killed by a disgruntled former colleague. And, of course, there's Harvey Milk Day celebrated by law in California. But in other states, they're celebrating Harvey Milk Day as well. And then class topics, you know, to explore, discuss Harvey Milk and so on. Oh, okay. Oh, this is out there, all right? This is out there in quite a number of places in America, but one particular curriculum from one county in one state I've been reading. How in the world can we look at that and know what's happening and be encouraged? How can we be optimistic? Well, number one, God is with us. Therefore, we have no reason to fear because all of these things, as painful and negative and destructive as they are infinitely tiny compared to the greatness and the goodness and the beauty and the majesty and the power of God. And second reason is that we have been given precious promises. We have been given precious promises. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Even though there is evil and wickedness in the world, even though there are people killing each other, people being raped, people being tortured, people subject to all kinds of horrific things, people given to every lust and perversion and unclean thing, God is at work in the midst of his people, and we have promises. We've got to feast on those, take them in, digest them, live by them. All right, a whole lot more to come. I'm going to give you a lot of scripture to encourage you today on the Line of Fire. Stay with us and be encouraged. Thank you. Thank you for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, delighted. I say it every day, but I mean it every day. That's why I say it. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have not visited our website recently, visit AskDrBrown.org and sign up for one of my online classes. For years, people have asked us about putting classes online. We've now got two of my signature classes available for online viewing. You can take the class in full, all the notes, all the information, even the class experiences. We pray together. Jewish Roots and Principles of Revival are available. So just go to the homepage, AskDrBrown.org, and check that out. I'm talking to you about godly optimism. And I've asked a question. I read some curriculum to talk about troubling things happening in society and how do we look at that and yet remain encouraged in God. I read some curriculum from one school in one particular county, one particular state. For example, in kindergarten, they want the class to read the family book, which talks about two moms, two dads in the midst of things. The same with All Families Are Special in grade one. The class reads Heather Has Two Mommies in grade two. Tango Makes Three, about alleged gay penguins and the penguin that they, baby penguin, they were given a raise, and on and on. My question was, which county in America is this taking place? So what you have to do is just guess the state. It's the state where this is part of the school curriculum. If you get that right when you call in, then Joey will read to you a choice of five counties within that state. So you got a 1 in 5 chance of getting it right. Not bad. What do you get? A free copy of my book, $27.99 hardcover, 600-page volume that'll change your life, A Queer Thing Happened to America, due out in early March. The anticipation is already rising. Things are already buzzing. I'll tell you a whole lot more about that and why it's relevant to you in the coming weeks. All right. First reason I said that we should walk in godly optimism is that God is with us, therefore we do not fear. That alone is worth everything. I would rather have the whole world against me and God with me than the whole world for me and God against me. Number two, we've been given precious promises. And by these promises, we can escape the corruption that's in the world caused by evil desires. We ourselves can live different lives. Number three, even in darkness, light shines for the righteous. Even in darkness, light shines for the righteous. Look at what Psalm 112, verses 4 and 5 say. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. You've got to remember always, we're the people of the resurrection. Jesus, our forerunner, has risen from the dead. Hope does live eternal. Yes, there are times of darkness. Absolutely. There are times of great darkness that we can pass through. There are times of great difficulty, great pain. There are times when it feels and seems as if God's a million miles away. Some of you right now, that's the situation you're in. Some of you used to walk with God, and I just got your attention because I happen to be the first person you've heard talk about the fact that, yes, sometimes you go through darkness, and it seems like God's a million miles away. Maybe you were just thinking about God because you'd kind of thrown him out of your life and thought, well, he doesn't care about me. There is no hope. And just happen to flip this on, and here I am talking to you. There is hope because for God's people, light will ultimately shine in darkness. So I see the darkness in society, and I'm pained by things that happen in our society. I'm pained by the direction our society is taking in so, so many ways, regardless of a Republican in the White House or a Democrat in the White House, regardless of what's happening in China or Russia or anywhere else. I'm grieved by so much of what's happening in the world. I was talking with a dear colleague who's actively working in Iraq and telling me about the atrocities taking place with believers there. I want to wait till I have him on the air so he can tell you this firsthand, but some of the most brutal stuff I've ever heard, stuff that was not reported in the news. Brutal's not even the word for it. There's living hell. How in the world do we go on when we look at that and the reality of it? Because light will shine in the darkness for the righteous, because the darkness is not the end of the story. So I look at the state of the world, but I'm always living with the confidence that ultimately God's purposes will come to pass. Whether in my lifetime or not, I know I will see many of his purposes come to pass in my lifetime, and ultimately every one of his purposes will come to pass in ways that will boggle my mind and boggle your mind. Okay. Number four, reasons for godly optimism. God causes all things to work for the good of his devoted people, and even the worst situations can be turned around for the best. Can I say that again? God causes all things to work for the good of his devoted people, and even the worst situations can be turned around for the best. Romans 8, 26 to 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Or all things work together for the good of those who love God, who have been called according to his purpose. All things in and of themselves are not good. Many things in and of themselves are negative. Many things in and of themselves are destructive. Many things in and of themselves are hellish. Many things in and of themselves bear the image of the devil and not the image of God. And yet, in everything, God is at work and causing everything to work for the good of those who love him. There is an ultimate goal to which God is working, and that ultimate goal is for our good in him. What's the outcome of Job's life, Job 42:12, and a book I'm especially focused on as I'm in the early stages of writing a commentary on it? The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. Think of what Job went through. Think of telling him in the midst of this, the end of your life will be better than the beginning. It would have seemed like a cruel joke, and yet it's true. And look, the Lord doesn't always answer our why questions. He simply shows us how bad things can be opportunities for the glory of God to be manifest, because Jesus specializes in being the Redeemer. That's who he is. John 9. As he went along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Just the natural way of looking at things and based on certain revelation they had up to that point. Jesus replied, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happens so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. But night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." Jesus didn't say that the man was blind for the glory of God, but his blindness was an occasion for the glory of God, so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. If you are devoted to the Lord, if you love the Lord, then you have to have that steadfast hope that situations which in and of themselves are bad, negative, hurtful, harmful, destructive, painful, situations which in and of themselves are pulling us in the wrong direction, if we'll keep our focus on God, if our trust is in him, if we love him, we'll not have to work it all out. We love him and lean on him. He'll cause everything to work for the good, and we'll look back and say, "Look at what God has done." All right, I've got more encouragement coming your way. Send the fire today. This is a special day of encouragement on the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, Glad to be with you. I felt it would just be appropriate to take one whole day on the broadcast and talk to you about keys to godly optimism. That's what we've been doing. We've had a special book giveaway of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which will be out in about 6 weeks, a book that just plan on getting it. Trust me, when you read it, you'll understand why I spent the better part of 5 years working on this book. But we're giving away some copies before it comes out. You'll be on the list of the first to receive them. And let me give you the details now. All right, I had a question earlier. I read some curriculum from one particular school district with just book after book of gay activist agenda, mind-boggling, from kindergarten on, that is in these schools, just reading it from the actual copies of the curriculum, the literature lessons. It was from California, Alameda County. Alameda County, California. I'm sure there are other schools with similar curriculums or curricula, but this I knew particularly from someone, from a mother who's been working in the school district for years trying to bring about change, yet thus far without success. All right. Visit us on the website, AskDrBrown.org. And can I ask you a question? If this show was not on the air, would there be any kind of a void in your life? Would there be something missing? Is there a voice that we bring that helps you, that encourages you, that strengthens you, that challenges you? It would really be a great help to us if you would stand with us in support. We need a whole bunch more monthly supporters so that we can touch the people we want to touch. And here's the nice thing. As you support us on a monthly basis, it's not a dime going into my pocket. Nobody's getting rich from this. All the money is going to help us bring this on your local stations and on major stations across the country. And we need about 1,000 folks to be standing with us, giving $25 a month. May sound like a lot, but all you need is one individual, just you, if you can do that. We send you a new CD every month. We give you discounts on online orders, access to our online classes. In fact, if you're going to take the online classes, this is even a less expensive way to do it. So go to AskDrBrown.org, click on support, become a torchbearer. Would you do that? Become one of our monthly supporters. If you can't give that amount, whatever you can give on a regular basis would mean so much to us. It would encourage us as we seek to stand with you, help you, bless you, strengthen you to be the person God's called you to be. So as we talk today about godly optimism, God is with us, therefore we do not fear, number one. Number two, we've been given precious promises. Number three, even in darkness, light shines for the righteous. Number four, God causes all things to work for the good of his devoted people. Even the worst situations can be turned around for the best. How many times have you gone through something that in the midst of it you think, this is the worst nightmare ever, and afterwards you think, without passing through this, I wouldn't know God the way I do. I wouldn't be in relationship with other people the way I am. I wouldn't be the person I am. I hated going through it, but I see it was the best thing that ever happened to me. That's the way God is. Number five, joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Yet do you hear a smile from my voice as I speak? Well, it's legit. It's genuine. Joy comes in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Remember, in creation, there's evening and morning, the first day. So there's darkness, there's difficulty, there's hardship. And sometimes in the midst of it, it's dark, but joy comes in the morning. There is a morning. There is a morning after the night, the darkness. There is light that will rise for the righteous and hope that will come. Yeah, you may be right now in that season of night, that season of weeping, that season of darkness, but be encouraged. Joy's coming, and the joy lasts longer. The joy stays longer. The joy's more permanent. Number six, we have a personal future hope. Yeah, there's rotten stuff in this world, and some of you may have lost loved ones at a young age, and you can't get them back. in this world, but we have a personal future hope. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Friend, if you truly know the Lord Jesus, you have a hope that will last forever. More encouragement to come. All right, I still have a few minutes left to encourage you today on the Line of Fire broadcast. I am going to do it. Can I remind you that if you'd like more encouragement free, if you feel that the words I'm speaking give you hope, bring life, make the word come alive to you, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on our free online resources where you'll find literally hundreds of hours of free material, not where you click and start to listen and then once we catch you in there, you got to pay for the rest. No, hundreds of hours of free material, message after message that'll bless you, that'll challenge you, that'll encourage you. So explore the website, the free resources there, as well as our previous broadcasts on the Line of Fire page. Again, AskDrBrown.org. All right, if you missed the show today, we've been talking about principles, reasons for godly optimism. Number one, God is with us, therefore we do not fear. Number two, we've been given precious promises. Number three, even in darkness, light shines for the righteous. Number four, God causes all things to work for the good of his devoted people, and even the worst situations can be turned around for the best. Number five, joy comes in the morning. Number six, we have a personal future hope. And number seven, in the end, God's side and God's ways will prevail. In the end, God's side and God's ways will prevail. Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. You know, I don't worry so much about exactly what the seventh trumpet will be, you know, when the prophetic this and that. I mean, the details are important, but to the extent that we can get caught up in details and miss the larger picture, I try not to do that. I look at the big picture. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Psalm 37:9-11. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they'll not be found. But the meek will inherit the earth and enjoy great peace. Isaiah 11:6-9, this will happen. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young lion put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Revelation 21:3-4. And I had a loud voice from heaven, from the throne, saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. That's why John Hyde, one of the great intercessors in church history, John praying Hyde, his last words were, shout the victory of Jesus Christ. So here's a bottom line way of looking at this, my bottom line for today. In tough times, God often intervenes. When he doesn't actively intervene, we often have his presence. When we don't sense his presence, we still have his promises. When we lose sight of his promises, when they don't seem to come to pass, we still have our future hope. Can I repeat that? In tough times, God often intervenes. When he doesn't actively intervene, we often have his presence. When we don't sense his presence, we still have his promises. When we lose sight of his promises, or when they don't seem to come to pass, we still have our future hope. May I encourage you, Focus on the reality of God. Focus on who He is. Focus on the love that Jesus expressed that reveals to us who the Father is. Focus on the wonderful goodness and grace of God. And no matter what, let that be your greatest reality. God is. God is good. God is with me. God is for me. Therefore, I am full of optimism, full of hope, full of faith because of who He is. Be blessed. Be encouraged. Back with you tomorrow.